We began talking about the arrest of the Mittler Rebbe. It was the Thursday after Sukkot, 1826. The Governor General of Vitebsk decided that he would summon the Mittler Rebbe to Vitebsk and personally question him about these allegations against him. So learning about this, a delegation, a group of Hasidim, and some very influential Goyim as well, they petitioned the governor not to arrest the Rebbe as a common criminal. Instead, they said, listen, a few important government officials should come to the Rebbe and request in a way that is not really a request, but you know, nicely basically say that we need you to come to Vitebsk for questioning. Now, in addition, because of his father's great efforts to help Russia defeat Napoleon, the delegation also said that the Rebbe shouldn't be like brought there like by the police. He should be able to travel on his own to Vitebsk. Like, he's not going to escape. What are you worried about? He's not running anywhere. And this way, even though there would always be like an unofficial government person going with him, but it would look as if the Rebbe was going on his own, especially since Hasidim would be allowed to accompany him in their own wagons and on foot. And so on Moitzei Shabbos, the government officials came and they officially asked, as if he has a choice, but they asked the Rebbe to come to Vitebsk, and they added that the travel arrangements would certainly be in a way that they wouldn't affect his health. As soon as the officials left, there were a lot of cries coming from the Rebbe's household. Many of the Hasidim fainted. The Mittler Rebbe, however, was very, very calm. And he kept his regular schedule. He accepted people in Yechidus, Moitzei Shabbos. He was writing Hasidus. Early Sunday morning, he called in his nephew and son-in-law, Harav Menachem Mendel, the Tzemach Tzedek, and he spoke to him for 2 hours. At 11 o'clock in the morning, accompanied by hundreds of Hasidim in wagons and on foot, so he began the journey. He was in a wagon and a carriage. And due to the weather, the Rebbe's health considerations also, the doctor instructed that the Rebbe should not travel like all day long. So instead they broke up, it's supposed to be a 2-day journey, they broke it up into 3 days. Now since the Mittler Rebbe was allowed to make his own travel plans, he stopped in every city that he passed to say a mimer for the Hasidim who came to greet him. Now when the unofficial escort saw the tremendous respect that everybody was giving him, they were so impressed, and they also began showing him respect. And they noticed that even the Goyim came with their greeting of bread and salt. That was like the minhag in those days as a sign of respect that the Goyim would do. They would greet a person with bread and salt. Now, the accusers of the Mittler Rebbe became super angry about this. So, instead of the Rebbe being arrested the way they hoped, it was like bringing a king to Vitebsk. You know, he's getting all this covet going. So they slandered the Rebbe even more. And they claimed that the Rebbe had bribed all the non-Jews to make a show of respect. Right? That the Rebbe's Hasidim went and they paid a bunch of goyim to make all this, oh, the Rebbe's here. And maybe he had them also lie in the first investigation about the Mittler Rebbe's conduct. And that's why everything's looking good for him. Because he's bribing everybody. After hearing their claims, the Governor General ordered that all of the Mittler Rebbe's privileges should be taken away. And as soon as the Rebbe got close to Vitebsk, he was arrested, and now he was treated like a common criminal. Now once in Vitebsk, he would be taken to a house and put under house arrest. Years later, the Tzemach Tzedek told his son, the Maharash, to buy that house that he was arrested in and stayed there. Now, in addition to one of his sons, only 3 other Hasidim were allowed to accompany him on the last part of the journey to Vitebsk. Remember, there's hundreds of Hasidim traveling with him. And they would also be allowed to stay with him the whole time. Anyone else who attempted to join this group would be severely punished. Right? That was the announcement made. So the hundreds of Hasidim who travel with him this far, they turn around. What are they supposed to do? Meanwhile, thousands of Hasidim were not even aware of the changes. They heard that the Mittler Rebbe is being led here with a lot of, hundreds of Hasidim coming, and he's saying Hasidus. So they traveled from all the surrounding cities to Vitebsk, hoping to hear the Rebbe say a Maimer, just like he did in other cities. And no one knew where the Rebbe was. So you can only imagine, as time went on, they were getting more and more nervous. And the rumors began circulating. Probably a lot of them were not even true. And people got more and more scared. 9 o'clock in the evening, Dr. Heibenthal is going to come up a lot, the old Rabbeim. Dr. Heibenthal, who was the head of all the doctors in Vitebsk, as well as the Rebbe's personal doctor, Dr. Heibenthal would travel to Lubavitch just for the Rebbe whenever the Mittler Rebbe needed him. So he went to the head Hasidim and he calmed him down. He told the few Hasidim that I'm taking care of the Rebbe. The Rebbe arrived a few hours ago. He also told them where the Rebbe is staying, but don't go there because it's a house arrest. Now immediately, they started to go to this address. Of course, we got to see the Rebbe. They said, listen, any Hasid who goes there, he gets severely punished. Now, even when kosher food was brought to the house, the one bringing it was not allowed to say a word. And he would only hand it to one of the Rebbe's shamoshim. And he himself would be like with guards over there to make sure they didn't say anything. And these strict decrees remained in effect for 2 weeks. On Yud Zayin Cheshvan, some of these restrictions were removed. From then on, the Rebbe was treated with more respect. So a minyan of 20 people was allowed to daven in the room next to where the Rebbe was. And they basically made an opening at the top of the wall so he'd be able to answer Amen to everything and hear Chazaras HaShatz, Kedusha, Kaddish, Kriya Satayra. Basically, you could daven with a minyan. So besides for this, so this was a minyan. So 3 times a day, 20 Hasidim would be able to come. Now, in addition to this, twice a week, 50 Hasidim could be there when the Rebbe said a Maimer. Now, who was the one who we have to thank for all these good changes? Dr. Heibenthal. Dr. Heibenthal went to Prince Lubomirsky. You remember Prince Lubomirsky? He was the one who convinced the Alter Rebbe to move to Liadi. So he was very good friends with the Rebbe's family. So there was another prince called Tsekret. So the princes Lubomirsky and Tsekret, they held the Mittel Rebbe in very high esteem. And they went to the governor general. They said, listen, we know the Rebbe for years. Please stop this garbage. Let him do what he needs to do. And Dr. Heibenthal also explained to the governor that the pain of not being allowed to say Chassidus was having a serious effect on the Rebbe's health. And he informed the governor that not allowing the Rebbe to say Chassidus could be as serious as not allowing other prisoners to eat. You're basically starving him of life. And he added that if the Rebbe was not guilty and something happened to him, do you think the Tsar is going to be happy with the way the Rebbe is being treated right now? An honored citizen for all generations whose father sent his Hasidim into danger to spy for Russia on Napoleon? The Tsar is not going to be happy. Especially because the government's own investigation concluded that there was nothing to investigate. It's over. Now, hearing this from a non-Jewish professor like Dr. Heibenthal made a powerful impression on the governor. The governor, by the way, was not a nice person, just to make it clear. And he caused him to lower his gezeiros a little bit. Now, he more than anyone else knew the truth, that the only reason the Mittler Rebbe was really under house arrest was because of the governor's own personal reasons. The governor made a bet with some of the local princes, whatever, that he said, I bet you I can get the Rebbe's family to come to me and beg me and plead for the Rebbe's freedom. Now, they never did that. So he wanted to keep the Rebbe in trouble as long as possible, hoping to win the bet. That's why he was doing all these things. A few weeks later, even though the Mittler Rebbe knew that the governor himself was personally involved in his arrest, he wrote a letter requesting, he said, I want the governor himself to judge the case, even though you would think the governor, that would not be a good idea. But he said, I want the governor to judge the case. And he claimed that all the charges were false, Not one of his accusers could claim that he ever intentionally acted against the Torah. And he then explained that the reason he wanted the governor to personally judge the case was that Hashem's wisdom rests on government officials. It says that in Svar, talking about Goyish government officials. And he finished the letter by saying that he would accept whatever decision the governor made, and he was very sure that he's going to be said that he's innocent. And the governor agreed to judge it himself. And after hearing from the Mittler Rebbe that the government the original letter had been purposely mistranslated, the governor asked. He said, "I want to see the letter," and he gave it to his own interpreters and translators. And the truth was that the Rebbe only got 12,000 rubles of the 35,000 instead of 35 out of 135,000. So because of this, the governor decided to arrange a debate between the Rebbe and his accuser. This way, he could personally see who was telling the truth. And that's it. So the Rebbe came to the debate dressed in his Shabbos clothing. What color were his Shabbos clothing? White. Even though we only see the Tzemach Tzedek white, but as I mentioned before, the Alter Rebbe, Tzemach Tzedek, Mittler Rebbe, and the Rebbe Maharash all wore white. And the way he walked in impressed everyone so much that the governor ordered that a chair should be brought for him. Even though usually when there's a court case like this, the accused has to stand the whole time. Now, as the debate was going on, the accuser became confused, and he addressed the Mittler Rebbe. He said, "Rebbe." Now, turning to the governor, the Mittler Rebbe said, "He calls me a liar and a rebel against the government, but he still calls me a Rebbe? Obviously, he knows the truth, that it's all baloney." And when the accuser remained silent, the Mittler Rebbe's innocence became obvious to everyone. On Yud Kislev, a few days after winning the debate with his main accuser, the Mittler Rebbe was informed by the governor general that he was allowed to go home. However, the governor said, "You're not completely free of the charges. The investigation's not over. I will be sending after the investigation, I'm going to send my findings and my opinion that while you're innocent of the charges of these two accusers made against you, my investigation did reveal that you broke some laws." So, what was the law that the Mittler Rebbe broke? So Taka, he wasn't using the money to help the Tsar's enemies. However, a religious leader, the law was that a religious leader could only accept X amount of rubles. And the Mittler Rebbe went over that amount. Again, because he wasn't doing it for himself. He's sending it straight to the Yidden and Eretz Yisrael. So anyways, the Mittler Rebbe returned home. But there's still an investigation going on over here. So it's not over 100%. Even though we celebrate Yud Kislev as the Yom HaGeulah, it wasn't over yet. Months later, after the lower courts and the higher courts, they carefully reviewed the case, and they said, "There's no question, the Mittler Rebbe is innocent." The governor refused to give in, because he wanted to catch the Rebbe on something, even something small. Again, all this to win the debate, which he never won. And we'll continue next time.